coming off a brace on Saturday and responsible for the last six Seattle Sounders goals. Clint Dempsey, once again, World Cup form. We're going to win the World Cup.
Captain of America.
USA! 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 Oh my goodness, it is so good to see him in form so horribly depressing as a Timbers fan.
So glorious. And we thought we needed Julian Green. Don't even need him now. You can go back to Germany and do your thing till 2018. Totally fine.
Well, I still like Julian Green a lot.
Nope, don't need him.
Man, Deuce looks great.
Clint Dempsey. That's all we need.
He looks great.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching him.
Googling
everything I can of him. It's so glorious. Clinton Drew Dempsey. I love him.
Clinton Drew. And if Saturday night couldn't have been more of a bummer for a Portland fan coming off a hat trick, going down to Texas where he actually has not played well for the Sounders. That game at Houston last year, I think it was the second game in August.
He didn't play well for the Sounders for much of last year.
Correct.
So I don't know if it was just in Texas, but...
Oh, and he just didn't play well. And I thought maybe like he'd go down and maybe that would be proving to be like a little bit of a wave. No. Absolutely fantastic on Saturday. Go ahead.
He's looked great all year. I mean, people were doubting him, like, oh, he's out of form. He looks so bad at Fulham. And then he came back in every game for the Sounders. He's looked better and better. He's been instrumental in creating goals and scoring goals. Defenses are keying on him. It's just, he's exactly the player we thought we were getting last year, just torching the league right now.
I had a weird experience on Saturday. I'm Jeff Budke, and this is Ben Slager. Follow us on Twitter. At the Cascadia Pod, we'd love to have you. Love to have some interactions on there. We do have a request for the end of the show from our friend Greg, who has never flipped off anyone in his life.
It's true. He's just such a nice guy.
Such a nice guy. And he's never done it, like not even once.
Nope. Never even thought about it, really.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And we have a request in for later in the show. We will get to that. But, I had a different experience on Saturday. I was working, so I downloaded the app for 750 The Game, which is the station down in Portland that for the radio does all the games. And I listened to the first half on the radio as I was driving back. And
great start.
It was a good start. It was fun to listen to. A very stressful experience. That looked like it hurt. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I play through pain, Jeff. I don't need the DL.
We're not going to tell anyone what happened. Just going to say that looked like it hurt. The radio is so stressful because they can't really paint everything. Like in baseball, you can paint a very accurate picture.
And just to clarify, with the Sounders, they share a TV broadcast and radio broadcast. So you're getting Ross Fletcher calling the game for TV, but you're not getting the play-by-play like you expect from the radio. But with Portland, I understand it's different. That's how it's always been. I don't know why.
Portland has a radio and a TV.
Okay.
So the radio was good. He did a good job, wherever it was. I should give him credit. But it was stressful, and there was a point in the game where I realized maybe I don't need the TV as much as I thought, and the announcer said, the exact words were, footy with an awkward clearance, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even need to see a screen to know exactly what happened there. The back line of the Timbers is constantly changing. Noberto Paparotto just isn't cutting it. He got put back on the bench. Chivas... It's hard to believe that they went in there looking for anything more than a draw, and that's how they played, and they got it. And it's so frustrating right now watching this Portland team play.
Yeah. Well, it's been a frustrating season knowing, you know, how great you were last year, and it's been, what, 6 games now and not a single win?
And it's frustrating to see a player like Darlington Nagbe play better than last year so far, yet to score a goal, but play better. His assist to Will Johnson was beautifully timed.
That was a great pass. Perfectly timed.
It was patient. Yeah, because he could have made the pass as soon as he saw him, but he waited for the defender to move one more step.
Yep, created that space right in front of the goal. It was perfect.
The Timbers' inability to score a second goal cost them 2 points. And it just seems like such a common theme for this team. But that was the theme last year on the road. It wasn't the theme at home. At home, the Timbers were able to get that second goal, able to get that third goal, whatever it took, or deliver a shutout. Instead, this year, it just seems like by the time the 75th minute rolls around, there's going to be change. There's going to be another goal, and it's not going to be from Portland.
Who do you expect to deliver for you guys? I know Nagby's been playing better, but are you expecting more out of Rudy? Who's been disappointing, especially on the offensive side, who you would expect to chip in and get a goal in those situations? Like, what's lacking for you guys this year that you had last year?
That's a great question that I think you're asking me as a person that watches every game, and I think that's what this coaching staff is having trouble deciphering right now. I don't understand. When the Timbers play Khalif Al-Hassan, the team is better, period. When Khalif is playing, I believe they've given up one goal. It was in Dallas, and scored all the goals against Seattle. Won there. I think it's 6-1 when Khalif Al-Hassan plays. When Gaston Fernandez plays, I mean, he had those two garbage goals in the first two games that were just rebounds, and that's great that he was there, but
this is hair.
A trained monkey could have, you know, tapped those in. He was in the right spot, and if the monkey had been trained to stand there, he would have knocked it in too. And his play has just really shut down the Timbers, and it's so frustrating to watch. Give me some outside perspective from what you saw Saturday and the Seattle game last couple weeks, because I think that Maxey is playing with confidence right now.
Yeah, and I think his positioning is good. I'm not exactly sure what you're lacking as far as scoring goes. I don't know why you didn't score more against Chivas. My initial thought after watching the Timbers game was that you were wasteful. Like, there were plenty of times when you were getting in the offensive third, and you just weren't getting that last pass, and you weren't finishing. Nagby was putting in balls everywhere. I just couldn't understand why you couldn't get another goal after Will Johnson's first goal 8 minutes in. And when you're playing a team like Chivas, who is not as good as you, I mean, clearly the Timbers were the better team.
So Nagby
was so great out there.
Yeah.
And you can't score a second goal for however many minutes, you know.
60 plus.
Yeah. It's just unacceptable, and you're just, you know, tempting the devil.
Yeah.
Because what happened then at the end when Powell was beat to the byline, and then Kaw just, I don't know what he was doing in the box, just didn't track. It was Eric Torres, right?
Yeah. Chivas literally has one person you need to make sure you know where they are the entire time. Eric Torres. That's it. And for Kaw and Harrington to just assume the other person was going to get him is unacceptable at college levels, at high school levels even. Well,
yeah,
maybe not high
school. I mean, your center backs just, you can't lose a guy there. It had to be so frustrating for you, especially that late into the game and against a team like Chivas. Now, I know Chivas is better this year, but still, like, at home, you have to take 3 points against Chivas. There's no way around it.
So my day, I worked for 10 hours, which was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Worked for 10 hours, watched the second half on the TV, yelled and screamed and wondered, like, you know, like, I don't want to have to watch that after getting off work. Like, that's not fair. And then Michael Harrington, his comment in the post-game presser was, well, if we don't give up that goal, we have a clean sheet. It was literally the dumbest thing he could have said right then. I was so mad. I was like, of course, if you don't give up one goal and the other team only scores one goal, then you'll have a clean sheet. That could be said for anything. Like Seattle could have said, oh, if we didn't give up two goals on Saturday, we had a clean sheet. But you didn't. Oh, and then I watched the second Hobbit movie, which was very disappointing.
I tried warning you about that. This is coming from Jeff, who is a huge Lord of the Rings fan, but has not seen the original Lord of the Rings movie series.
Correct.
And yet you go and watch both of the Hobbit movies, which is the biggest mistake you can make, because the Lord of the Rings movies are so fantastic. I understand what you're about to say.
Okay.
But they took one book and made it into three movies. It was a
horrible
idea. That
seems like the better idea.
No.
So the first...
Nope. Anyway, moving on.
The Hobbit is a lesser book, so I expected the movies to be fun. Like, The Hobbit, I don't hold The Hobbit to the highest esteem that I do the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Okay.
And so I expected to have more fun with the three movies.
Well, they had more fun. Creatively, they had more fun.
That scene where they're in the barrels?
It's just ridiculous.
It's like...
It's so fake. It's so Hollywood. It's just not Tolkien. That's all I have to say.
And anyway. I'm sad about that, because Martin Freeman is great.
Yeah, he is.
I love him as an actor.
I do, too.
Let's talk about the Sounders game.
Let's do it. I love that idea.
Let's talk about the Sounders game, because let's kind of gloss over a little bit how great Dempsey was and see if we can talk about some other things. But to be honest with you, like, that is the main talking point.
Yeah, I think all Sounders fans are a little bit worried about the defense.
Yeah.
Not scared, but there's you know, hints of doubt.
What was the center back pairing on Saturday?
Traore was back in the lineup, and Chad Marshall, he's just been a beast. But, you know...
Let's exclude Chad Marshall from concerns.
Yes, agreed.
Because I don't think there is any.
They've just been letting in too many goals, and some of them have been fluky, but they've never really stood out to this point. And I think they'll clear things up and make adjustments, but it definitely hasn't been a strength of this team. So if there's anything to worry about, it's definitely how the defense is playing.
Watching the game on repeat, which is kind of fun because I knew the result, I knew when the goals were coming, so I was able to watch other things. Right. I wasn't preoccupied. My first question was that game filmed from a blimp?
Yeah, it actually was. They tweeted, I think it was...
How high were they off the ground? It was unbelievable.
It was so bad. When I turned it on, I was like, I need to find the HD feed. Like, this is so bad. It feels like I'm watching one of those streams on my computer, you know, from
like some college league.
Yeah, that I can't get on TV. It's so
like
bad.
Like
it's
an Iowa,
saturated.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone looked like they had been in the tanning bed for way too long. Like, the color saturation was just way off.
Well, it was like, it would zoom out, like it would be in the normal view. Actually, that blimp thing was a joke. I didn't know that was real.
Yeah, so the stadium isn't tall enough to mount the camera that you can actually see. So they have it like raised up on like some sort of a pole or something floating.
And then whoever was making the decisions would cut to like a zoom in of someone's face.
It was so bad.
It was unbelievable.
Production quality was so bad.
And the second question I had, I'm forgetting his name, the FC Dallas keeper, Seitz maybe?
Yep. Chris Seitz.
Do you think goalkeepers wear cups?
No.
Because he looked like he got hit a couple times. Like, right in the... So they just don't.
I can't imagine.
Don't you think they should?
It's a soccer ball. It's huge.
That's
like,
true. All right. Those were my two biggest questions coming from that game.
Those were your biggest questions.
Well, and...
Did you
write
those down?
Yeah, I didn't want to forget.
Does a goalkeeper wear a cup?
Yeah, that's right
and
there.
And was the camera on a blimp?
I also wrote,
we're coming to you with the hard-hitting questions.
I also
here.
Wrote frickin' Dempsey.
Yeah, well, that's analysis right there. I think we should just lock this one down. I don't think anybody else needs to hear anything.
What about Marco Papa? Because I in preseason had a lot of doubts, and you and Josh at Green and Shale seemed to be pretty excited about his addition.
Well, when he was at Chicago, he was their biggest playmaker and
scored a lot
of goals. And he just went to Heron Vane in the Netherlands for, I think, a little over a year,
yeah.
And he struggled there. And I just kind of threw that out and said, if he can return to the form that he had with Chicago, he's going to be totally fine, and he's going to be a big contributor for this team.
Okay, 6 games in now, is that changed at all for you?
A little bit, but I think he got off to such a poor start. He wasn't used to the league. He wasn't used to his teammates. I mean, we've seen players like Dempsey come back and struggle to get up to good form with a team that they're not used to, and I think he just had a couple bad games and his confidence was shaken and the coaching staff lost a little bit of trust in him, and Lamar and Kenny Cooper have been playing really well and they discovered the 4-3-3 and they just ran with it.
Huh.
And so I think Marco Papa will work his way back into this lineup and be challenging for a starting spot, but it's great to have that depth on the bench to have a guy come in who can create and can score goals. I mean, that's pretty awesome to have on your bench.
Is he better than U.S. Open roster? Like,
yeah.
Is he better than a U.S. Open
yes.
Cup roster or starter?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be upset if he became a starter and took Lamar's spot, or you play them off each other when one's in form, you just ride them until they get cold and then you put in the other guy.
I thought Lamar played quite well.
Lamar's had a great season, and I was not sold on him playing on the wing,
mm-hmm.
or more as a outside midfielder. He's great as a winger, you know, pushed further up the field, but he's really played well this year. So to the game, it was a pretty fluky, weird game. The wind was just howling. The camera was off. Like, as soon as I sat down, I was just like, this game is weird. Something, you know, weird things are going to happen. And then they scored that goal where it bounced up over Fry's head.
Did you have any spurning
I kind of laughed. You know, when Spurney did it, it was at the end of the game and we were, you know, marching towards the playoffs. And we were, as fans, we were upset.
Yeah.
And this was a bit different. This was just like, wow, that sucks. And I don't know what to do about this, but there's a lot of game left. And this game looks like it's going to be pretty weird.
Once again, getting to watch with some people who may or may not know a ton about soccer. I was over at the guy at Trevor's house, and there was a few people there that I didn't know, and they were very frustrated with Stephen Fry, saying that they thought he was kind of a hack keeper and just not up to snuff. And I haven't gotten that impression at all, but I can see how after that play and after giving up four goals to Portland, if you're not really watching, you could be frustrated. Are you frustrated with Stephen Fry?
No, not yet. It's early. He hasn't had any really bad mistakes.
If the Sounders went out and got a post-World Cup keeper.
Absolutely. He could be upgraded. No doubt about it. But for now, I think he's just fine, and I'm excited to see how he does in the season. He's made some great reaction saves. Obviously given up a lot of goals, but you know, sometimes goals are just well placed and there's nothing you can do about it as a keeper, so you can't hold those against him.
Portland's four goals were absurd.
Yep, I know. Because looking back, it's like, no, he should have stopped that one from Valeri, and it's like, you watch that replay, it's like, there was... he had the near post covered and did everything right, and it was just blasted into the only place that could have scored.
The first Chara goal that he got a hand on was the only goal I thought he actually had a chance at.
When he could have gotten a little bit more. Also, he's coming off a long injury where he was out for a long time, so...
We haven't had a chance to talk about this on the pod, but the MLS Players Union released all the salaries. Mm-hmm. Stephen Fry makes $150,000. You're saving a bunch of money from what you paid Spurning. Yep.
And the management has come out and said, we have space to sign like a mid-level guy post-World Cup, which is when a lot of teams in the MLS make moves.
It looks
guys
like
coming off World Cup runs. It's when the Sounders signed Fernandez after 2010 World Cup, and they signed Blaise Cuffo. So there's guys to be had coming out of the World Cup.
It looks like Portland will be in the same vein.
There will probably be, I'd expect about half of the MLS teams to make some sort of move in the summer.
I was thinking today about, I believe Vancouver has all three DP spots filled, but Seattle could generate another DP with Alonso.
Yeah, if they bought down Alonso, I don't know if it's... I mean, it's tough to know if it could happen because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with allocation money. But it is possible if there's someone there.
And Arruti isn't a DP. Like, that was only confirmed as of Thursday or whatever when it was finally on there, because he's getting paid less than most of the guys.
Yep.
Or just around the middle, around where Ricketts is being paid. And neither, I know Ricketts isn't a DP. The DP rule, man, that's such a weird... It's not weird, but it's still weird to me.
And I'm so excited. Maybe excited is not the right word, but interested to see what happens in this next CBA. Mm. How they're going to lift some of these salary restrictions, which ones they keep, which ones they cut back. I mean, there's all sorts of weird rules as far as, players on your roster that have to be, you know, from the United States, international slots, you have homegrowns. You know, I wonder which of these they will keep, what type of structure they have, and then ultimately, the biggest question is, what's the salary cap going to be?
So, Dempsey, I didn't notice the MLS Players Union had released it until Thursday afternoon. I looked on ESPN.com, and it said Dempsey makes more than, like, I think there's like four or five MLS clubs that
there's
just makes.
More than that.
More
I
than
think
that?
It's like
okay.
Half of them.
Well, that was the headline, and so I look it all up, and Michael Bradley and Jermaine Defoe make $1.5 million more than Dempsey. I think they're both at $6 million apiece, and Dempsey's up with
five and a half.
Oh, okay, so I was off by a million there.
Yeah.
Pennies, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, but base salary, I think Dempsey makes more than both of those.
Were you thinking that struck out, like, that stuck out to you when you looked through that? Because that was such an interesting thing to just have
They do it every year.
Okay.
So I've always kind of kept an eye on that. And it's always fascinating to see which guys got big raises in the offseason, because you hear guys sign new contracts. Mm-hmm. But since none of it is released, you're always wondering, like, who got paid more, you know. So it's just fascinating when those numbers actually do come out.
Hmm. Vancouver lost.
Sab?
Yeah.
Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Just doing Robbie Keane things. So,
do we get to talk about the second half of Seattle, or are we just going to gloss over that?
No, I'm just giving Vancouver their 30 seconds.
Well, that was too much. That was way too much.
They have to play LA again. They're doing a home and home.
That's
home
so weird.
Don't you do that at the end of the year with LA?
Yeah, with LA. Last two games of the season are LA.
Horrible scheduling.
I don't know. It's like some intern back there with like the biggest Excel sheet you've ever seen, and he's just like plugging things in until all the lights go on green, and he's like, we got it! We got the schedule!
No one move.
Don't change it!
Let's talk about the second half with the Sounders game or whatever. Whatever crap you want to talk about and how great they were and all that. Yedlin's foul looked like a PK to me.
It was. It was a little soft. It was definitely a PK, though. just the positioning and how he took down the defender. And it was unnecessary, which was the most frustrating thing about it. But you had to call it as a PK. And Yedlin knew it. So,
yeah there was a ton of argument. So the game continued. You guys were down the majority of the second half?
Yeah, 2-1 at half. And then Dempsey took over.
Again?
Yeah. His movement and play with Obafemi Martins has been fantastic all year. I don't think Obafemi Martins is getting enough credit. As a striker, you expect him to be scoring goals, but his touching and passes and movement have been so great, and Dempsey's been playing so well off of that.
Obo only has the one against Montreal.
Yep,
correct.
He does. And he had that close one in Portland, but he has 4 assists.
Okay.
And he's just playing as a target forward for a guy that you don't necessarily expect to play as a target forward. And if you look at his passing and his positioning, he's playing so central, and he's the key to a lot of, you know, these attacking movements and where they're all starting from.
Yeah. I mean, those are my big things from the game.
Yeah.
It was just... I think that Oba's doing fine, but I think he's going to start getting some pressure.
I don't think so. I really don't.
You think he'll avoid that?
And I also think teams are going to start changing it up. They're going to start keying on Dempsey more, especially with his late runs. And as soon as you start marking out Dempsey, if Oba's left one-on-one,
yeah,
he's just going to be sprinting down those channels and getting on the end of crosses and through balls and putting them away. I can see him putting up a brace against Chivas, and everybody forgets, you know, that he only has one goal. And I don't think you'll hear from any Sounders that he's been playing poorly, because he's been fantastic, and I think people understand that.
What's the word on Brad Evans?
I think he's close. I think they've been taking their time with him because they can, because they have depth, because they have guys like Papa and Pineda and Azira who can come on late. And so they just haven't felt the need to rush him back.
Frustrating time for Portland. I'm just so discouraged.
I know. What'd you think about Dempsey's free kick?
Oh, it's fantastic. And Oba put it back in. I wonder if for some reason Oba misses that, if that's not a goal.
That's a great question, because after it bounced in and then back out, the ref didn't point his hand to the center circle, so he wasn't marking it as a goal until Oba knocked it back in, and yet the scorekeepers went back and gave it to Dempsey.
Yeah.
Which is so funny, they can go back and attribute the goal, because even though it wasn't given on the field.
That struck me really odd, because if Oba misses that...
Nobody gets a goal.
No one gets a goal. Yeah. But instead, Oba puts it in to get Dempsey that goal, which is odd.
I know, because I kept checking the stats on MLS, like, who are they going to give that to? Do they have to give it to Oba because the ref didn't call it? Yeah. Such a funny situation.
It was
and misleading. Shows how badly we need goal line technology. Like, that ball was so clearly across the line.
It's a stupid league. I don't... Yeah, it was a great free kick. It was absolutely fantastic. It was like a minute and a half after the Dallas goal. Yeah, just a great response.
Quick response.
And he blasted it, too.
Yep.
It looked... Yeah. We're not going to get into the dynamics of what the ball looked like as it was hit. I was about to say, like, it has a nasty downward spin.
It did.
It's like,
that's and then there was the own goal, which Dempsey creates, although it doesn't look like he got an assist for, which is a bummer, because...
You can get an assist for an own goal?
They didn't give it to Dempsey, which is weird, because you'd assume, like...
Well, if the defender's not there, it goes to Oba.
Yeah, and he created it, right? He's the pass before the goal.
Yeah.
It gets tricky, I guess, but still. I thought it was cool if Dempsey got the assist there.
John Terry's own goal against Crystal Palace, the Chelsea defender.
It was a beauty.
It was beautiful. And
I was like,
don't wonder if that guy got an assist for that. Because it was just a great cross, beautiful header. It's hard to get it past Peter Cech like that, near post. Like, oh, it's crazy.
Glorious. So good.
Oy. Did you see Gareth Bale's run today in the Copa del Rey?
I did.
Oh, it was awesome.
He just outran everybody.
I'm just avoiding questions.
I see that. You're just so upset about this Portland loss, you don't even know what to say.
I don't know what to say. Well, and what makes matters worse is that Portland goes to RSL this weekend.
That's a bummer. Sounders go to Chivas, which I expect them to walk away with all 3 points,
yeah.
But anything can happen.
You know, the curse of the Bambino. Zavaleta will probably have a hat trick, and
Zavaleta is not allowed to play.
Oh, that's right.
Which is why another huge thing for the Sounders because
Chivas had the four in the back line. Mm-hmm. They had one person in their natural position, Bocanegra. Zavaleta's a forward.
Well, I think Zavaleta from here on out will probably be a center back.
Andrew Jean-Baptiste played left back.
Ouch.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
And they're right back. I don't remember his name. Oh, did you... They had a McNamara. I haven't heard yet, but I'm sure he's done for the year. His knee injury looked terrible.
I didn't see it.
Oh, like it was a non-contact and like play stopped for a while.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And it was just, yep. I felt so bad. Ugly, ugly dude, but no one will see that.
Speaking of ugly.
Yeah, we got a few.
Michelle from Dallas, he looks like a Simpson character.
He does.
Yeah, just, and his celebration. Dallas had that coming, that loss coming after that ridiculous celebration. That's your comment? Celebration.
Lauren approves of this message. Oh, no. Oh, she said it first. All right.
She doesn't even know what the Simpsons is. Simpsons are.
The Simpsons is. The Simpson is. All right. Do you want to interview me on my what the people want to hear?
Jeff always wants to talk about ladies, but there's
no. It's the people. The people wanted to talk about this.
I don't know about that.
Because I made a comment.
Jeff's makeup partner recently moved back to the area.
Okay. Wow. That's not true. It's not true.
I don't know what else. Is that what you wanted me to tell
No,
people?
Is the...
Well, I'm so confused. You're just asking me to quiz
there's
you.
A woman, there's a lady in my life.
Oh, it went from a woman to a lady. Is it a girl, or what is it?
I think lady is the best term.
Okay.
She's not yet a woman, not no longer a girl.
I'm just feeling uncomfortable with this as you keep going.
I think she's a lesbian because...
Wait, are we talking about the same person?
No, not her. I just assumed she was a lesbian. We're not going to talk about this.
Okay.
And Greg, then, you come on the show, and you can interview me.
If you flip him off.
Oh, gosh. We're gonna have this podcast, and the Timbers will have another loss. And I'm just going to be worse than I am now. I'm glad we didn't record Sunday night, because it would not have been clean.
We probably should have.
Yeah.
That's what I need to get back to you.
So angry.
You're wearing, like, a really nice shirt. It's freaking me out.
I won't dress nice
you
around
so
you anymore.
You look so put together.
It's because I'm normally wearing like a hoodie and shorts.
Well,
and
there we go. Did you write that down?
Follow us on Twitter, at Ben Slager, without vowels, BNSLager, and at Jeff Budke, spelled normally, and at Lauren K. Slager, producer Lauren.
LK Slager.
At LK Slager. And at the Cascadia Pod. And email us. You have anything else for us?
No. Clint Dempsey's the man.
This was our worst episode.
It was. I'm really disappointed in our effort here.
I'm really disappointed in you.
We just delivered the worst podcast you'll listen to all week.
Hey, have a good week, everyone. Cheers.